Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is Stephanie Williams, and I'm sorry if my voice has a little bit of a alto to it, but it's late and I'm recording this, but I figured if I don't go ahead and do it, then I won't. So I'm trying to get this out to you guys. So first off, how was everyone's Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, whatever it is that you call that national day off that most people get? And I hope that you had it off, and I hope that you enjoyed it, doing it, whatever it is that you could to enjoy it. That meant visiting family, avoiding family, eating some good food, hopefully mac and cheese without Brussels sprouts. Hopefully you got some mac and cheese. Hopefully pie wars didn't start, whether it was sweet potato or pumpkin pie. Both of them are trash. Don't at me. It's just a no for me on either one of those. But I really, really hope you enjoyed, and I missed y'all. Last time I spoke to you was for the Thor Ragnarok review. I will not be reviewing Justice League on this episode because I haven't seen it yet. All I've seen is Clark Kent's missing upper lip because they CGI'd it and he looks like a human shark. All right, so moving right along into just messiness, because that's really truly all that's been going on since. And I mean, let me not kid myself or you, that's just pretty much been 2017, 2016. So today, well, first off, Marvel Comics continues, as always, to show us that they just really, really, really love themselves some problematic and mediocre all at the same damn time. White men. A couple of weeks ago, they announced their new editor-in-chief to replace Axel Alonso, who is a jackass. His name is C.B. Sabowski. Don't even know if it matters for me to even try to get his name right, because if you haven't heard already, he was pretending to be a Japanese author by the name of Akira Yoshida, which is like really fucked up. It was his way to get past the Marvel rule that staff cannot write comics under them. So this unseasoned piece of Make America Great Again pretended to be Asian, broke the rules, and guess how he was rewarded? Just guess. Go ahead. Say it out loud. Say it. I don't care where you are. Just go ahead and say it. He was promoted. He was promoted to editor-in-chief because, you know, white people can do anything. White men can do just about damn near anything. And Marvel promoted him because of this. So, of course, social media has gotten a hold of this thanks to Bleeding Cool, who actually was the site to break this news. He's been getting dragged all day. Who knows what will happen? My guess is probably nothing, or just a really, really tired and, run the mill. I just Googled this apology will be up and out. And that's what Marvel will pretty much say. Well, you know, we did what we did, but you all are still going to go out and buy these comics. So we're going to keep him as editor-in-chief. So, I mean, that, I don't expect much. I really don't. I mean, for the simple fact that they knew about this and they still promoted him, or I guess, yeah, they knew about it. Or even if they didn't know about it, the fact they know about it now or whenever, he still got promoted. So, yeah. So comics, y'all, that's, isn't the comic industry just grand? Isn't it just amazing? All right. So to follow this up, I did some catching up over the weekend on some comics because I have fallen way, way behind in just a horrible fashion because, you know, life, and also Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro was going on. So, you know, that's a hell of a lot of reading. So I was trying to get caught up on some comics. And I finally got caught up with Black Panther. I realized they changed the issue numbers because the last issue I had read was like 16 or 17, and now it's like 160 something. I guess it's because of that Marvel Legacy or whatever the hell they're doing. And yeah, so I got to Black Panther issue 167, and just a forewarning right now, there is a spoiler. I'd be surprised if the timeline hasn't already spoiled it for you, but I'm getting ready to verbally spoil it for you. So in this issue, we learned that Wakanda was colonized by who we know as the Wakandans presently in the comics. You heard that correctly. The land was previously inhabited by peaceful aliens, and then Black folks rolled in and went white colonizer on them. So like, I can get depictions of imperfect Black kingdoms. I get that. I'm fine with that. But this shit, but to have it in such a way that Black folks stole Wakanda from indigenous inhabitants in it, you know, is just head scratching as hell. I just, you know, cults. I just don't understand why he went that way. And I guess we'll find out with the coming issues, because clearly this book isn't going to stop anytime soon. But, you know, just to have something like this in such a popular book before this movie comes out, and more people are probably going to be getting interested in wanting to read Black Panther. And a lot of people are going to be suggesting to them to read the newest Black Panther. And they're going to stumble upon this and kind of be like, now what the fuck is going on? I don't know. So, like, I just imagine some white folks reading this, especially in the current political climate, and just going, well, look at there. You see, you all can do this too. And it's just like, no, no. So, I mean, this appeals to the white gaze in a way that I did not know was possible, but here we are. It's just, you know, honestly, Coates writing this isn't the surprising part, nor is the fact that it was published. It's just a giant pile of nigga why. And time will tell why, as we, I guess, issue 168 comes out and all subsequent issues after that. But it's a hell of a head scratcher. And I mean, it just doesn't look good. It just doesn't. And in this current climate that we're in right now, is just, I don't know, like, it just doesn't sit well with me. But like, I get it. And some people got pissed enough though that they started a petition to get Coates off of the Black Panther comic, which I don't see happening, because I mean, he's bringing Marvel money, so that's unfortunately the way it is. But I mean, he had Misty out here looking like a fucking idiot talking about Blue Lives Matter and, you know, AmeriCorps or AmeriCops or whatever they're called being her damn tribe. So, not really surprised. So, the Storm comic, right? The one that he's writing? Right. Let me know if you're still excited for that. Go ahead. So, yeah. So, the other comics that I got caught up on, and I read Titans, which is a DC comic, Rebirth. I actually do like that. And Bumblebee is actually doing shit in that. So got caught up on that. Super Sons continues to be very cute. Also started reading Genius Cartel, which if you haven't picked up yet, I suggest that you do. Black Science, as always, is still good. So that's another one. And I'm blanking on some other stuff. I'm all the way caught up with Mr. Miracle. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but Tom King, you know, I didn't give a damn about Mr. Miracle. In fact, I didn't even know who Mr. Miracle was, honestly, prior to picking up the Mr. Miracle comic. So, Big Brada, I'm in love. So, again, if you haven't and you're curious, that is one that I do recommend. Maybe wait for the trade since it's probably close to coming out. But that's one that I think you could invest your time in. And I'm trying to think of what else. I read a lot of stuff. It's a blur. So, yeah, it was a lot. But I got caught up. But the Black Panther one, that was just a yuck. All right, so on to like movies and TV stuff. So I ended up watching She's Got a Habit, which I actually had no intentions of watching because one, I've never seen the movie. My relationship with Spike Lee films is love hate. Crooklyn for the longest was one of my favorite films just because I had seen it so much when I was younger, like ad nauseum. how many damn times I've seen that movie, but it was just one that I, for whatever reason, just always like watching. I was pretty much like, fuck Spike Lee after Chirac, which I don't even want to talk about. And eventually I did attempt to sit down and watch that because it was on Amazon Prime and I was at work and I didn't have anything else to do and I didn't make it through. And I just got very, very angry that, again, this movie even happened. But because of, you know, what I was kind of hearing on the timeline and some of the folks that I talked to telling me like, hey, this is actually all right, you should go ahead and check it out, I ended up checking it out on Friday when I was at work again with nothing to do because nobody was there. And the first episode, it was just one out of, I mean, the music that goes with the show has been phenomenal. Like, Insecure's music was really, really good. The music for She's Gotta Have It, whoever put that together, like, kudos to you because that is really great. So that drew me. And then also it just looked aesthetically pleasing, just the lighting on the black folks and just DaWanda Wise. I mean, I watched her on Underground, but such flaw. I just want her in all the things. I really honestly do. So that was another reason. And Mars. So again, I have never seen the She's Gotta Have It movie. I never had any desire to see it because one, I'd heard there was a rape scene. I'm just like, I don't feel like being traumatized right now. And then two, again, Spike Lee, always just a, you know, an ashy ankle away from Hotep. So I missed that time. Like, it came out before I was born and I kind of missed that time period of, you know, when I would have seen it and, you know, caught the wave. But I understand what it did for his career and what it was at the time, so I won't knock it in that regard. But the She's Gotta Have a series, I ended up watching it all the way through, surprisingly binged it all on Friday, which I had no intentions of doing, but the episodes are only 30 minutes long, so I went ahead and did that. And at surface value, I did enjoy it. There were things that happened that kind of made me raise my eyebrow and go, it just, and a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but a good enough amount of times, it kind of felt like I was like visually seeing a Twitter thread acted out, which could be good and could be bad. In some cases, it was good. In other cases, it was just too much and it felt forced and like some things were missing. And I'm just curious as to that writer's room and the black women that were writing, which I'm happy that they were, because from what I've heard that this was just, you know, a total improvement for the most part from what the film was. I actually, as far as characters are concerned, I Nola got on my nerves all the way up until episode 4, and I think that's when I think that's the episode that's Love is Love with her and Opal, and that was the episode I was kind of like, okay, I think you're just young, I get it. So, and I just found out Nola was supposed to be 27. I thought she was younger than that. That's still kind of young, even though I'm only 2 years removed from 27. But I mean, I guess I'm not going to be too hard. But that was the episode where, I don't know, my tolerance for Nola got better and I was all right. I did not like Jamie Overstreet in that hot butter knife lining he had. I just really wanted to come through the screen and just pick his hair out and just put some in it because it looked very dry. So Greer Childs, surprisingly, I actually grew to like. He was a jackass of a character, but I don't know, like he did some things that were just kind of redeeming because also spoilers, I'm sorry. I go in a little bit more in depth with this. Actually, there will be a She's Gotta Have It. Kind of like a review that I did with Shannon from Nerds of Prayer that will be up on the Patreon soon, possibly tomorrow, possibly when this podcast episode is released. So if you want to head on over to my Patreon to check that out. But Greer and Mars. So if I had to rank the men that Nola was dealing with, it would go Mars all the way, and then Greer Childs, and then some random nigga, and then Jamie Overstreet. That's how it would go. But man, Mars, like a man actually doing emotional labor for her, which was, I loved every minute of that. He prayed for her success. He was there, her biggest fan. And Nola didn't deserve Mars at all. Nola damn near really didn't really deserve Opal either. So let me hush before I spoil everything for those of you that haven't watched it and might watch it. But the She's Gotta Have It series, at surface value for moi, I did like it. Now, I'm pretty sure you've probably seen, you know, Twitter do its thing and start to pick it out apart and go into deep discourse and threads on it and all of that. But for what it was and how black it was and how black it felt, it, you know, might be worth your watch. So I'm not a stan or anything, but, you know, it just might be worth your watch. So moving on from G's Gotta Have It, another show that I finally gave the time of day because I had the time of day, The Runaways. So I wasn't at all expecting like this. I don't know shit about The Runaways. I just don't. So I'm not even about to sit here and lie to y'all like I've read the comics. I have not. Maybe I probably will now since this show because I just want to know more. But I was watching two episodes the other night. I haven't watched the third one yet. But so it's Riverdale times 10, and in a good way, because you have parental drama, which I'm always here for in these teen shows, because you kind of need that shit to balance out, because I don't want to see them doing whatever they're doing the whole entire time. And I really liked it. I didn't know what was going to happen when those parents put them robes on, but when that went down, I said, oh, well, this is fucked up, but I will be watching it. So Hulu, however you pronounce it, Marvel's Runaways, that is another show. Even though only two episodes in, I haven't seen the third one. That's another one, like, they got me. So if you ask me, I'm probably going to tell you to watch it. And I guess I was watching a lot of stuff before that. The Punisher, which also I didn't plan on watching, but because I didn't go see Justice League. Sorry, don't have that to talk about, like I told you at the top of the episode, but Punisher, I ended up liking that more than I thought I would. It was I don't even know where it ranks among the Marvel shows. It damn sure is better than the Defenders, and you know for damn sure it's better than Iron Fist. But it was violent as fuck, which you would expect, because I mean it is the Punisher. But I wasn't expecting to lust so much after Frank. I really wasn't. With hair, without hair, I was lusting. And then it got me thinking about, you know, Loki and Frank bondage team and how that would go and what that would be. So yeah, without going too much off topic and turning this into the Lemonade Show After Dark, yeah, it wasn't a lot of Karen either. Or maybe there was a good amount of Karen and I just barked it out. I don't know. I don't recall. I don't. But I think what got me, because the first three or four episodes, I was kind of like on autopilot watching it. Like I was watching it, but I wasn't like paying attention. It wasn't until we got to the Dick Riding Heels in episode 5 with Detective, forgot her name. But we got to that part and I said, oh, okay, so this is what we're doing. And then that's when I started paying attention. And I think that's actually when the show actually started to pick up 6-1 through. To be honest, I think they could have made that 8 episodes. Maybe made the writing just a little bit more tighter and left cut out maybe a couple things. But 10 episodes was kind of pushing it a little bit. 8 would have been fine. So Marvel's Punisher, I mean, if you haven't, that's another one where, if you ask me, then I'll say, hey, you probably should check it out. Way better than Iron Fist. Everything is better than Iron Fist. Watching paint dry is better than Iron Fist. Picking up baby shit is better than Iron Fist. Getting a root canal may actually be better than Iron Fist. So there's that. wow, this is really Marvel heavy. And I wasn't, that's not my intentions, but that's what, I mean, you know, WB came out with Justice League, and Marvel was just like, okay, well, let's throw all our shit out now. Because also today, if you hadn't already seen, there was a teaser trailer for the Infinity War teaser trailer that will be released tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, might be when you're listening to this, but they're gonna go ahead and release that teaser trailer. And all, and you probably already read this on the timeline, but all I want to know is, does Thanos finally figure out that he can do bad all by himself, and he just, you know, rides off in a space U-Haul ship with a Shamar Moore and a braid wig? That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know, because we went all this time to find out, you know, see Thanos with those Infinity Stones, all of that. So I want to know. And I know one thing, some people better die, because how do you have Thanos show up and then nobody dies? So, I mean, they can kill everybody and then, you know, they could just gather all the stones together, the one person that's still alive, and then, you know, do that whole thing where they wish and wish and everybody comes back. Kind of like Dragon Ball. Pretty sure that's not how it works. Probably not even canon, but, you know, kill some people. That's all I'm asking. Murk some niggas. So I'm ready for that trailer, just because it's been so long and we've been waiting on this, and I just want to see what they're going to do. And they had a Vanity Fair, cover spread on that. Well, if you haven't already seen it, not a single woman of color on there, but they did have Black men and white women, which by Hollywood standards is diversity, which get the fuck out of here, but it's diversity for them. So, and they had like all of the women on the inside, most of the women on the inside, all the women of color on the inside of the magazine. And they had all the women of color except for, I guess if you count Gamora, because that ass is actually green, if we're not, you know, really paying attention to the fact that it is Zoe Saldana behind the green skin. But they had them all in the back. You had to blow it up. You had to squint. You had to put your phone all the way up to your face in order to see. Now, I don't know how you have Miss Angela Bassett there and you put her in the background, but that's what they did. That is what they did. And they also had the string still attached to the Wasp and Spider-Man. What are y'all doing? So that was weird. And I don't know what that was about, but you know, that's what they do. That's what Marvel does. So I'm going to share a very quick story of what happened when I unfortunately watched The Hateful Eight. Don't ask me why I watched it. I don't know why I watched it. It was just one of those, curiosity was really going to kill me. And I was just, again, at work with not much to do. It's very slow when it gets to the winter. I mean, winter months at my job, just because people aren't going to, getting surgeries done like that. So anyway, I watched The Hateful Eight, and wow, they say nigger a lot. Like, I'm talking about with the hard ER in that movie so much. And it got to a point where I thought Samuel L. Jackson was dead. And I was like, whew, I was actually relieved, because I'm like, I'm not, you know, they're not going to say it anymore. No, I'm going to say it. This nigger was still alive. And they definitely drew it out into the very last breath to use the N-word. And just fuck Quentin Tarantino, for real. Like, his, you know what, I want to remain blessed, I'm not, but just fuck him, because like, for what? And this Charles Manson movie or whatever the hell he did, I'm pretty sure that one's probably gonna have the N-word all up and through that bitch, which wouldn't even make any damn sense. So don't watch The Hateful Eight. Like, don't do it to yourself. Don't do it. In fact, instead of watching The Hateful Eight, what you should watch is, you could watch Meet the Robinsons, which is an underrated Disney film that I think that everybody should watch. And I almost forgot, Incredibles 2 will be coming out sometime in June. There was a teaser trailer for that. And I'm just ready. We'll eventually take Tyzilla with us to see it, but we'll be seeing that first without him at the late show. So leave kids at home. All right. Well, guys, this has been a very late, but an episode of the Lemonade Podcast. I hope that you have enjoyed. Again, if you haven't already, you could be so kind, become a Patreon subscriber. I will have an episode about She's Gotta Have It and my thoughts on the show and all the characters in depth, more than I shared today, and a couple more things on Patreon as well for the holidays, trying to put something together for Christmas. But in the meantime, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.